I've read a lot of self-help books in my time, and I'm always looking for the kind of self-help book that not only just motivates and inspires me, but also leaves me taking action, leaves me actually implementing the things that are talked about within the book. Those are the kind of books that I'm interested in. Welcome to Grow With Intention, a podcast for people who want to create a life that feels good. In this episode, I want to talk about the 7 books I've read, but not only read, I applied, and I can now point to things that are in my life and be like, my life is that way because of this book that I read. And we're starting off with a book about optimism. I have always been fascinated by what makes some people think more helpful and resilient thoughts versus people who think more victim-y, unhelpful, helpless thoughts. So when I saw the book Learned Optimism by Martin Seligman, I was like, okay. Nowadays, it is one of the most highlighted books in my Kindle library. And in it, he definitely doesn't talk about positive thinking. He actually talks about non-negative thinking, which is something I can get behind. One thing I also really like about this book is that at the very beginning, it has this long quiz that's kind of unlike any quiz I've seen before, in that I couldn't really guess what the right answers were. Usually you can go, I know what's right and wrong, but with this, I couldn't. And when you complete this quiz, it'll tell you what your most like unhelpful thought patterns and ways of thinking are. And then the whole rest of the book is dedicated to tools for thought that you can train into your brain that will help you to have more helpful thinking styles. Unwinding Anxiety by Judd Brewer. I have had stretches in my life where I've felt really anxious, and it's that kind of anxiety where you're like, why do I feel anxious? It's more body anxious than head anxious. But I've also had really big stretches of time in my life where I haven't felt anxious at all, and I felt really content and at ease. But I was never able to go, this is what I did differently that made me feel better. And that was the most frustrating thing for me, because I was like, cool, like I get these good stretches of non-anxiety, but then I get these stretches of anxiety and I don't know what is making the difference between the two. But when I read this book, I was like, oh, that's what's making the difference. This book has definitely helped me to manage any kind of feelings of anxiety more than any other self-help resource. The Power of Strangers by Joe Cohane. I made a YouTube video a while ago, and it was all about how to make life more interesting. And in it, I experimented with a few different ways to just make my life feel a little bit more fun on a day-to-day basis. And one of those experiments was talking to more strangers. And I did that because of this book. At this stage, we all know that connection is one of the biggest, most important self-care factors. There's that one Harvard study that was done for like 80 years and may still even be going, where they found that connection was one of the biggest influences on your health and your happiness over time. We know this, but usually I think when we think about that study, we think immediate, super close connections. And obviously it is important to have those super close connections, but we undervalue our weak ties. Our local librarian, our barista, the random person that we talk to in line when we're at the grocery store. Those little connections make a big difference in our happiness, and we don't even realize it. After I read this book, I made a point to intentionally talk to more strangers in my life, and I've kind of just kept on doing that. I feel like now I am so much more likely to strike up a conversation with a stranger, make a little comment, ask a little question to a random person that I'll never see again. If I get one or two of those interactions in on the day, I feel much better than on days when I don't get those interactions in. Forgive for Good by Fred Luskin. If you have ever been cheated on, lied to, or treated unfairly in any way by any of the people in your life, and you haven't been able to let it go, like you still think about it from time to time, and you're like, ugh, this makes me feel bad thinking about it, but I also feel like I can't stop thinking about it, this is the book for you. Forgiveness is a mental health tool that in my eyes is just as important as exercise and good sleep, but it's only really promoted in religion. No one out there is really chatting about forgiveness as a mental health tool except for me and Fred Luskin and a few other people. This isn't about condoning someone's poor behavior towards you. This isn't about saying that it was okay, whatever was done to you. This is about not letting people live rent-free in your mind, which should be filled with thoughts about how to solve your own problems, your happiness, the happiness of the people around you, the things you love, the things you are grateful for. Not ruminating about things that you can't control, you can't change or influence. More Than Words and The Relationship Handbook. This is a double recommendation because I read both of these books around the same time and they both have the same energy. They carry the same vibes and the same messages in really different ways. I've been with my partner for 10 years and honestly, we have a very chill, what feels like a pretty easy relationship. However, a few years ago, my partner was in his very last year of his master's degree. If you ever dated someone that is in the last year of their master's degree, you know, it's a stressful time for all. And in that time, I was like, okay, to get through this, what we actually need is a ton of communication. I'm going to communicate whenever there is anything wrong in our relationship. I'm going to be vocal and loud about what I am not happy with because I want to make sure that our relationship is good. But communication didn't cut it. In fact, controversial statement, but communication actually seemed to make things worse. So I read these two books around that time because I am who I am as a person. And here are just some of the messages from the book that really capture what they are about. Communication isn't nearly as important as how we feel when we communicate. We often persist in trying to communicate in order to connect rather than connecting in order to facilitate smooth communication. This misalignment is why many modern relationships fail. When your spirits are low is when you often feel most compelled to talk about things and when you are least advised to do so. So both of these books, they advocate for communication, but communication that comes from a place of connection, which is the best kind of communication. Any communication that leaves you feeling more disconnected isn't good communication. But I didn't realize that at the time, and I felt like I was doing the right thing by communicating. And these books both changed how I approach problems in my relationships for the better. I think if I had kept on going down the communicate route, I would have sabotaged my relationship. And I don't even feel like that's like overstepping or exaggerating rather. I will say if you have relationship problems like the ones down in my description, don't read these books. They will harm more than help. The Way Out. So a year or so ago, I had nerve pain in my wrist and it just started getting progressively worse. And I was doing the most to try and fix this nerve pain. I bought a different mouse pad. I changed the way that I sat. I had like a 1 hour stretching routine that I found in some old book that claimed to absolutely cure this kind of nerve pain. I looked on every single Reddit thread that I possibly could have looked on. Nothing made it better. It just got worse. So finally, I was like, okay, I'm going to do my research. And I came across this book called The Way Out. This book is by a pain psychologist, a guy who's done a ton of studies. It's not woo-woo in any way, but it is about the idea of neuropathic pain, which is a tough one, I know, for people who deal with chronic pain. And I want to be clear, not all pain is neuropathic pain. Mine was. And neuropathic pain is still pain. Like, I was experiencing very real pain. It's not all in your head. It's pain. I'll have a list on the screen of all of the indicators that are listed in the book that say, you know, your pain could be neuropathic if it ticks these boxes. The ideas in this book were the only thing that made my pain go away. And my pain went away in like a week, maybe 2 weeks. And it had gotten so bad that I can remember like talking to my partner and being like, what if I can never work again? What if I can't use a computer because this pain in my wrist is so bad? I was deep in the freak out mode stage. Opening Up by Writing It Down by James Penbaker. I made a video about a year ago on the reasons why journaling may not work for you. One of the biggest reasons that it hadn't worked for me in the past was because I was holding back. And this is a really common phenomenon when people journal. They actually found that when people use phrases like honestly, really, and truly in their journaling, they're more likely to be holding back, which is so funny. And the more that you hold back from sharing your true feelings, even when your true feelings might be irrational from an objective perspective, the less journaling tends to help. Coming to this realization really changed the journaling game for me entirely. I used to actually be quite anti-journaling. And if you've watched my channel for a while, you would have seen that. I was very like, journaling just doesn't do it for me. It doesn't help me. That's because I was holding back so much. I would write as if my writing was being perceived by others. Like I had to be the most rational, non-emotional, you know, mature person ever as I wrote about deeply emotional problems that I had very real emotions about. I actually didn't come to that realization through this book. I'd already kind of come to that conclusion on my own as well as with other resources. But I think it is always nice to have your perspective validated by studies, by experts. And James Penbaker is actually one of the biggest experts when it comes to journaling in terms of research. There are so many books that have changed my life. Those are just some of them. I'm going to have them linked in the show notes or the description because this is a podcast and it is a video. I appreciate you so much and I'll talk with you soon.